Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie. I hope you can all hear me and at the back. My name's Trevor, I'm an addict. And I'm very grateful to, I'll be 29 years on the 1st of October. So does anyone new here stick around? And the most important person in the room is the newcomer. And, you know, we only keep what we have by giving it away and doing service. Thanks to everyone here tonight who's done service as well. I sort of thinking that obviously I've been around a while and I've done many chairs. I've been privileged, asked to do conventions and, you know, open and close conventions over the years. And I've been involved, so I suppose, more on a grassroots level of taking meetings. I've always been involved and there's a lot of people here I know that from that journey, you know, some dinosaurs have been around a good while, like me. But, you know, I've grown up in the fellowship, but I've sort of jotted a few things down so it makes a bit of sense. And today, you see, I was so self-centred in my addiction. It was all about me and the next drug, and everything evolved around that, and I couldn't give a damn about anyone else. Did a lot of damage to myself and to others. But bear with me, I've jotted down. It's always a bit daunting when you see a speaker with notes, isn't it? But don't be scared, it's not too bad. It's just to sort of make it a bit more interesting, really, for me to give you. I mean, I started using drugs up and around here. I can remember coming down here for soup with beatniks. Some people may have known the history, but... And there were some old junkies, Canadian junkies, and I was sort of a pretty young mod. And I used to run around the West End and go to the clubs and take Purple Hearts and Dexedrine and blah, blah, blah. It was all quiet. And then I used to sometimes venture down to Subway Piccadilly, you see, and in those toilets at that time, I won't swear, but there was a bit of blood and gore going on around that area. It's a lot of used in intravenous junkies, you know. But trouble with me was I was sort of sucked me in. I quite like, even today, dare I say it, the dark side and sort of seediness. And there'd be guys down there... You go and have a wash them days. I don't know where people go and have a wash and there's no washrooms around, but they'd be actually taking the drugs in the place, you know. And I mean, it was the days of glass syringes. There wasn't these sort of tiny little jobbies I haven't got a clue about now. It's a completely different world. But and I thought, oh, I'm not going to be like those people, you know, bloody junkies, you know. And eventually I progressed and got my diploma and moved up, as you do if you're an addict. You know, for me, I was certainly an addict from... I'd play football as a kid and I'd say one more goal and you couldn't see the ball. You know, I always push things to excess. My dear old mum used to say, something wrong with you, you know. And I always did that. But what I'm trying to say is there's a way out of that addiction. It doesn't matter what you're addicted to. If you come to NA, you can stop it and turn it around and grow up and be adult. My development was stunted from sort of 14, 15 to the age of 35. Because I used all that time, you know. I never grew up, never learned how to do anything. It's quite good coming to a meeting where you don't get anyone sharing back. So it's a real captive audience, isn't it? But I never believed, I thought I'd die an addict, because in those days all my friends, basically, you know, it was terrible stories happening and there was no NA really going at all, you know, when I was full on in my early using. And it was like terrible, really. I hated what I was doing, but it was like, I'll make the best of it and hope I don't die, you know, too young and all that. It's all nonsense, really. But as I say, going back, bit of banter first I'm giving you, and then I'm going to give you present day stuff, and then I'm going to give you recovery, so it'll come down like that. But I'm very grateful to be able to get up today and just have a sort of 63-year-old man. Don't look it, really, don't I? And, you know, just get up and not be sick. I used to, it was dreadful, you know, being sick from whatever it was you needed. And all the goriness that went with, you know, getting stuff off of dealers. Or I used to think the girls in boots were getting younger and younger. And she said to me, "Well, you've been coming here like years and years. Maybe you're a lot older now, you know." And time does go by, but I think we all have our time when the rock bottom comes. And, you know, I'm really grateful to have got out of it and made something. I've lived life in reality, you know, the last 28 years, and that's something I could never do. I was terrified. But going back to meetings where people don't come in, because you usually get at meetings, people come in and share something, you think, hang on, cut, you know, hold that, pause. Or you get someone who'll say, "I was really into what you were saying and I listened in very intently," and they say, "What was your name again?" Or I can really identify, relate to having sex with animals, and I think, hang on a minute, I didn't say that. So it's good to come to a meeting where nobody... I've got a real captive audience, you know. But, I always remember some old timers, because I was very, very angry when I came off the drugs. I thought it was once I give up the drugs, but I didn't realise it was a much bigger issue of how I dealt with life, and me was the serious problem. It's very frightening for anyone, you know, to look in the mirror and thought, what a mess you are. I look like Frank Zappa gone. I had a big Frank Zappa moustache, and I was into my sort of long, sort of hippie period. But I was in the time zone. I've lost it. I don't know if anyone can relate, but when you come around, you think, what are people doing? And the music and... Anyway, let's carry on, eh? So, if you come into the meetings, and it's something that Charlie always says is so true, you can stop using them. I mean, why do you come to a meeting? Because originally, you do start to come to give it away, but the first thing is, you come for help, you know, and it's all here, all the manuals are here, and everything's here, it's just that for some reason, addicts are so reluctant to do what's good for them, in a sense, you know. And it does take time to get your head around things. And I was very, very angry when I came in to the meetings. You know, it was like I'd come off my mother's breast or the bottle had been taken away. I didn't like it, you know. I want this back, you know, and it's like I can't bear it, reality, and people are so, get on your nerves, you know. You know, when I was sort of in my heroin and cocaine sort of induced comas, they could say anything really around you, you're just completely cotton walled up, I used to think, never tough, and feelings and emotions really didn't, you know. Someone would say, like, "Oh, so-and-so died down the toilets," blah, blah, blah. You go, oh, they're terrible. Have you got any extra gear on you? That's how much concern, you know, it was given to another human being. It's terrible, really. Right, just having a look at my couple of very brief notes. Right, here we go. So, So, yeah, up to date. Today, when I go to meetings now, I try and, you know, give a positive message, say what's going on with me, and then, you know, it is all about the steps and everything. All the answers are here if you're willing to do it. But I've got hepatitis C picked up. I'm serious, quite serious business now, although I don't look so bad, I suppose. I've been on 3 treatments that have failed. My liver's now cirrhotic. I've got varices and blah, blah, blah going up the esophagus, and I could hemorrhage and get really serious. I've been turned down on this latest wonder drug, Sulfadi, the Americans one, their drug companies, won 80 grand for or something, and they've picked, but the criteria, I'm not sick and ill enough yet to get given it. That's what they're doing. They haven't passed it nice. The other thing news I had was that I've got my left eye. I don't know if that's because maybe might be just I've inherited it, but I've got macular degeneration on my left eye. Now that may go, I'll go blind eventually and very fuzzy in my left eye. Maybe a year or 2 years, it could take 10, you know. What I'm trying to get at is, what I've learned coming to the meetings is just keeping in the day whatever goes on, you know. I've only got today to live. Even though it does worry the life out of me, it's very scary. And I've learned that, whether you're worrying about sitting here, should I go home tonight and clean that fridge? Could be a major problem, can't it, for some people? How they're going to go about doing something like that? I mean, some people, the planets of the land. You know, just keep it in the day, you know, keep it in the day, whatever it is. So, yeah, I ended up, you know, and I'd used all that time. Intravenous drug use is not a pretty thing, you know, because. And I ended up over in the Gordon Hospital that I actually started a Friday meeting there. There's a few guys here remember that meeting on a Friday night. You know, and I was on a mental locked ward, you know, detoxing. I was like a lunatic. And then I went off to Oxford to a community. And it was like being born again, because I'd never ever dealt with any of my emotions or feelings. I'd get up in the morning and intravenously take drugs, you know. So it was a rude awakening coming back to planet Earth. But I had to surrender. What I'm trying to get at now is, I had to say I've got a serious fucking problem. Oh, sorry. Serious problem. You know, I'm an addict. I had to own up and say, I want help, I need something to do with it. And I've been told by, this is what's crazy how addicts can be, by professionals, doctors, psychiatrists, professionals. You're seriously doing some damage to yourself now, Trevor. You know, enough's enough. Oh, what do they know? They've only been to training for 6 years, or, you know, professional people that are giving you advice to look after your life, and, you know, you'd rubbish it, you know, it's terrible. But to heal, that's what it was. I had a little look, and to heal, we must stop using. And my heart goes out. I'd have done anything. I had nearly to get out of the mess. My heart goes out to people that do sort of yo-yo and relapse, and that's their journey as well, you know. And the spirituality of giving it away is to get away from self-centeredness, you know. It says that in the book, looking for life's meaning, you know. By having a spiritual program, it's not about ego, being famous, having lots of money, and all that outside stuff. That won't keep an addict. you know, in recovery and steering him on the right path. You know, that's not... I've been back to college and, believe it or not, by listening to me, but I'm a trained psychotherapist and accredited, blah, 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 and got some letters after my name and worked in that field. But it doesn't deal with my addiction. I'm not that clever. People who think they're clever because they're famous or got lots of dosh are treading a very dangerous line, you know. And the main thing that I found I have to do is maintain, you know, anything that's running well gets maintained. And I'm just going to look at the clock. To maintain something, you know, I've got to put some work in, and I constantly have sort of... My regular week is about 3 meetings. That's sort of least I do, come to 3 meetings. And I've got to keep it going and do all the suggestions. I still, even though, you know, I've been around a while, I have terrible times, and I share the really difficult and hard times I'm going through, like I did a bit of personal stuff earlier on. Because it's good for everyone to hear that you don't stop having, you know, life's difficulties and times don't work out, and sometimes they do because you've been around a while. You know, and you can sometimes think, oh, I won't share, you know, and been around a while, you know. So, it's really an inside job. And that's all I wanted in my life, really, was to be able to get up and be comfortable in my skin and go about my business and do what I enjoyed and everything else, you know, naturally. Because, believe me or not, if anyone's thinking of taking drugs after this meeting again, the biggest drug I've found, and I've taken a few over those years when I was using, the biggest drug of all is reality. Stick with reality and it will give you such a coastal ride, a sort of, you know... That'll give you everything. It'd be terribly difficult sometimes and painful, but it's real, you know. And I always remember a friend of mine, Paul, he was dying of cancer and he was doing a chair over in somewhere over near where I am, over Chelsea Way. And he said, at least he knew he was going to die, he had lung cancer, and he said, at least I've lived the last six years for real. You know, I've actually felt everything. Because when you think about it, who wants to be, you're on this planet. If I'd have carried on and died, I'd never have actually felt anything or done anything naturally. It was always under some... And I've become quite squeaky clean over that time, you know. That shows you that, you know, I don't smoke now. I mean, the meetings used to be smoky meetings when I first came to them, Smoky Joe's. And there used to be a meeting up the road at Rathbone Place above the probation office called the Electric Chair, was the nickname. I don't know, there's quite a lot of angry folk there sharing how, you know, terrible things are. And I always remember a friend of mine, he used to always share, no, none of yous, he says, that it's so bad as me. I've put more down the sink than you lot of yous. It's always like, it's always that sort of, you know, but it was very angry sort of meeting. But, and the other thing that I mean, these are all suggestions, you know, is I've got sponsees, I've got a sponsor, I've been around the steps and blah, 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 you know. Because what's the sense of coming? I mean, if you was going to an evening class learning how to do pottery, you hadn't mastered it in sort of... You think, good God, you know, what's the point of my going there? They're explaining all what needs to be done. And it's still, look at the state of that pot, you know. Something dreadfully wrong, isn't there? You know, no, there is, seriously. I think unless anyone's really incapable of being honest with themselves or they've got something seriously going on, anyone can do this. I mean, we've all, I think, witnessed miracles of change, you know, from people. And the great thing is, it's not about cash, it's not about material stuff. You know, there's nothing better. I always remember at that particular meeting, there was someone on the street. Oh, he was terrible, driving mad. You know how newcomers can be quite go on and on. And we used to go for coffee and stuff afterwards. No, let's be real about it. You can be mad for 5 years. You know, in early recovery, Gary won't mind me saying that. 5 years, I was completely out of lunch. But we used to go for coffee and whatever. And he used to say, oh, I'm thinking of going into this, anyway, hostel or something. And should I keep going to meetings and clean up? I said, well, give it a go. You know, you don't know until you do something. Then about 2 years later, I was at a convention in Brighton. And this spick and span sort of guy in a suit, all clean, come up to me, and I thought, well, it was him, you know. Won't mention who he is, but he's, you know, he does a good profession now, and you can't buy that sort of stuff, and that's not to blow my own trumpet, but it's just, you've got to give it away, really, otherwise if you don't do that and do some service, and get into a spiritual way of being, you just drift back into the self-centeredness and the old ways, you know. And I always say to sponsees, go and get a job or go to college. You know, go and do something with, you know, learn how to be told what to do. Because I never used to like being told what to do in jobs. Or I don't like being told what to do anyway, but... You know, we have to, because unless you're the supreme leader of everything, someone's going to say, look, we need to do this. And you can talk to the cows come home in the meetings about this, that and the other. The proof of the pudding's in the eating. It's about people walking the walk. You know, it's no good giving it all the old flannel in meetings, and then we know you've murdered your nanny and your granny and buried her on the patio, and you know, you've robbed at the Abbey building site a couple of weeks ago. It's all right though, I'm clean, you know what I mean? You hear a lot of that nonsense, you know. And it needs people to come up to people and say, that's trash, what you're saying. Absolute garbage. I remember old-timers coming up to me and saying, Trevor, do you know where you want to go? You're a very angry, screwed-up person. And I say, where should I go? You need to go to on and on. Because you go on and on and on and on. And there is an on and on's anonymous. And I'll give you the number if you need it. What's the time there? Because I'm very tight at meetings, aren't I, Gary? They're like tight ship. Because you mustn't give them an inch, addicts. Really. Give them an inch or anything. Really. Yeah, it won't keep us in good shape, material stuff and ego enlargement. It's all very well, you know, I'm proud of achievement. I'm doing an I never did anything academic. I used to think, oh, they're all mad, you know, academics. And, you know, blah. Then when I had to go and do it and train, it's bloody hard work. You know, you've got a blank piece of paper and you've got to do a dissertation or... And, you know, you've got to toe the line, learn and research. That's why a lot of people don't do it, academia. It's so hard work, you know. But all the things you know, the steps service. I'm having a sponsor, having sponsees. It's all good maintenance of keeping your recovery together. I mean, if you go out and buy a nice BMW or whatever make a car, well, you're going to just leave it rusting and decaying away. You know, why do that? You see, all my using of was about self-abuse. Self-abuse, because no one used to have their arm up my back. But it crippled me, you know, into having a life. And I haven't got, I mean, although I live in Millionaire's Row over in Chelsea, I'm in a Peabody flat that I'm grateful for, because it's not easy now to get anywhere to live and stuff, and I've been in that all through my recovery. I was lucky enough to get it. And, you know, I sort of get along, and I would have viewed when I was using as he's a boring old sort of chap, that Trevor, you know, talks too much sense. You know, but I like boring, bit eccentric, you know. So, okay. Sponsor said to me, I've had four sponsors, and some people know me. The first one I had was Peter Williams, bless him. And there was a gang of people, and there was people here tonight, you know, very generous, and they were there for the newcomer, you know. And he died, sadly, of AIDS, conducted himself. He was unlucky. The drugs came a bit late for him, the drugs that people can get now. And that he was, the way he conducted himself is sort of, because I've got some health stuff going on, you know, I'd like to follow that he gave me. But another sponsor used to always, I'm grateful, I've had four sponsors. It's not bad going, really. I know five, with the one I've got now, five. It's not bad, is it, in 28 years, you know. Some people have gotten by the dozen. And whenever someone says to me, do you want a sponsor? I say, well, we'll meet up and discuss it first and have an assessment. No, you've got to be strict with these addicts. They're like snakes. I'll tell you this and they'll wriggle somewhere else. Go through, this is what I expect, and if it doesn't work out like that, you know, I'm not going to be your sponsor. You know, they've got to be, because otherwise it's a waste of time, you know, waste of. But the thing I'm thinking about in my head now is that the sponsor saying to, it's not about being cool either. You know, it's hard work, isn't it, trying to be cool? Who was that? Anyone agree with that? No, it's really hard work trying to be cool. And what you're learning for me in life is there's always somebody who's cooler, got more money, is more talented. It's got a bigger one or bigger tool. You're on a loser, mate. Don't get comparing and despairing what other people have got. Always bring it back to have a look at your own stuff, you know. So what I'm trying to say here, it's possible if there's any newcomers or any people having a hard time. Charlie always said, you know, it's hard work. It's hard work tonight. I thought it'd be nice. Oh, I'd drag over that bloody Trafalgar Square tonight. I was in the field, you know. Nice to stay in, you know. I'll have a cheese sandwich and watch a little sunny on the telly, get early night, you know. Now, I can do that. But, you know, I wouldn't have been looking after myself in the right way. You know, I can turn up today and I'll honour commitments and that's what you get. But what I want to say to end with really is unless it's arrested, you know, as we all know, addiction can be fatal. I mean, you know, it it's a terrible sort of disease and illness, and it needs to be maintained and looked after. And anyone, you know, I used to be known over the River Victoria Road, no nonsense Trevor. Yeah, it is serious. You know, anyone want to dispute it's a serious, you know, it's not, not in a funfair, you know, playing coconut shy. Serious business, Pete. We're in the business of saving lives and saving our own life. Yeah. No, really, I mean, I'm trying to end on a serious... You know, this is a serious business. And it's all there if you want to put the work in, you know, and addicts do recover. And I'll end it there, and I wish you all well, and thanks for asking me, very grateful.